guy came up to us out of nowhere.
No, yeah, and one guy.
We're podcasting party people.
It is 9:30 in the morning. Good morning, Norman. It is 9:30 in the morning on this humid day in Oklahoma.
City.
Is Oklahoma City the state?
Now, we're on the campus of the University of Oklahoma.
Okay, before it falls apart, complete me. Completely. Complete me.
I think we complete you, Miguel.
This is the Voicing Indigeneity podcast. This is Miguel, Madel, and Angie. We haven't podcasted for a while.
For now.
We're at the Indigenous Studies Conference in Oklahoma City.
In a cottage.
In a very nice cottage. And we're presenting our papers in 4 hours.
Four?
Yeah, 4 hours. So Madel has lots of coffee. Angie has lots of pages.
4 hours?
So, okay.
What do you got lots of?
Mojo.
Laundry.
I have plenty of laundry.
Man, it's like he has clothes for 15 people over there. Anyway... We just participated yesterday in a historical event. Momentous or historical?
Very momentous, historical, inspirational event. So, okay, I will give background on the conference that we're at for those of you who don't know. And we appreciate those of you who came up to us and said that we love your podcast and we love your blog yesterday. That was very nice of you, Dustin.
Hi, Dustin.
Hey, Dustin. Thanks for listening. Dustin from Bowling Green University.
It's not his fault.
Dustin, it's not your fault.
It's not his fault.
Your name tag is...
He got the typo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least it wasn't my name this time, so I got the lucky end of the stick, but thank you for coming and introducing yourself.
That was very sweet of you. We will add your link to the blog.
Eventually here.
But, so this conference, it's been an incredible event. They expected 50 people, more than 300 people have come. And so everybody who's here, you know, saw the call for papers and it connected with something that they want to be out there, that they want to be a part of, which is kind of an academic, hopefully community engaged organization, which is for people who do indigenous studies for indigenous people.
And with indigenous people.
Yeah. And so everybody here is really...
About indigenous people.
With indigenous people.
And as indigenous people.
Indigenous is the key word.
Yes.
So it's been really fun and exciting. Angie has been starstruck several times as she's seen people that she's only read the back covers of books of.
Back covers. Hey, I flipped through the pages.
No, Angie reads a lot. So, actually, I can't even tease her about that.
What are you saying?
Madel doesn't read very much.
I'm a good skimmer. If you
and
need
I've
tips,
never read a book
contact
at all.
Me.
She's real bright, though. She mostly gets by on her looks.
That's a first, folks. Record that. I look like a... never mind.
No, Madel does. She's sporting a very fresh, new do that's from Dream Girls, the movie Dream Girls.
I've never seen it, though,
so... She's your dream girl.
So last night, what did we do? Oh, we had a plenary session in the morning, or yesterday morning we had a plenary session where...
And I said, and I am telling you, I am not going.
Where the steering committee
We're all very excited about our panel later today.
The steering committee proposed that the body that... participating right now at this conference, vote to
empower them
to create or to move towards the creation of a scholarly,
official,
professional,
formal
association. And so there was a lot of discussion around that and what the implications are for the communities or peoples who could potentially be involved. And then there was a lot of discussion about the name of the organization, which extends to who would be included in that label, right? So if in fact, so the, what, categories or some of the...
because the driving force behind this is Native American scholars or American Indian scholars. I'm learning that there's a difference. And I've learned over the weekend that there's a difference between those two. And people take on certain labels and some people shun other labels. So it's just like the Pacific.
They're just really politically charged
labels. But so, and so the steering committee is six people, and then four of which are American Indian scholars. And then two of them, one is Keolani Kawanui, who is Native Hawaiian, Kanaka Maoli scholar. And then the other is Native American scholar, but whose work is hemispheric. Avila from, I think, UC Davis. And so it was kind of like that, this is kind of how the conference was in terms of the people who are attending. The majority of it was Native American, American Indian scholars. But then you had these fringe people that were coming hoping that there would be something for them. So people south of the border who are from indigenous tribes in Central and Latin America, you know.
And north of the border
from Canada and Alaska. And then a small but very determined group of Pacific Islanders.
Oceania. Yeah.
And then at least two gentlemen from India.
Which was really the exciting part.
Didn't the Call for Papers beg for this, though? Should there be an Indigenous Studies Association or the future of Indigenous Studies? I mean, wasn't there an implied broadening and acceptance of and inclusiveness?
Well, even in the discussions that came out last night, there was never a point where there was a denial or a dismissal or an exclusion of peoples who were connected somehow to indigenous like work, right? So, but the discussion or the heated conversations came about over what the meaning of indigenous might include, and then it became about geographical boundaries. And so there was a point when the discussion turned to focus on whether or not people from outside of the North American continent, right?
And then, the North America, and then the Americas.
Would be sort of central to that indigenous framework.
Or would they, I mean, so if you say it's indigenous, in your principles that this is about indigenous people and the study of them, then what do you do to back that up and not just make it say that, oh yeah, everybody's welcome, but because we'll always have it in the United States.
But then, you know,
it'll always just be primarily Native Americans that come.
But everybody else is welcome. Also know that in principle does not always mean in practice either. So you can state it in principle, but then I think it would also need to be followed up by practice, right? So I think that a lot of work still needs to be done in terms of conceptualizing how this association's gonna look and feel. And so I guess we're going to, what was decided last night was all these concerns and questions and comments that were raised are gonna be taken back by the steering committee. Everybody voted to empower them to further dialogue around these issues, and then we're going to show up in Georgia next year, and then they are going to sort of put together proposals based on, put together something based on the proposals that they get that will allow us to you know, finally...
To pick a structure, yeah. to maybe elect members, to figure out, yeah, yeah. just to vote
on principles. To actually formalize the organization and get incorporated, so...
So we should give a plug. We should give a plug to University of... Is it Georgia University or University of Georgia? University Athens. Of Georgia. I'll bet
In
on
Athens.
That. In Athens, Georgia. Next year, 2008.
It's on April...
Indigenous 11th Studies Conference Strikes
or
Back.
10th through the 12th.
And then, and then Minnesota the year after. Return of the Indigenous Studies Conference.
I love it.
And then the next place it's going is...
Palau, Chuuk, and Yap.
Oh, Guam, Medell- USA. But, oh.
How about Palau FSM?
It doesn't work like that.
You know what, though? This leads right to some... Uh-oh. We should talk... Yeah, we should... Let's... Do you want to?
What about the list of sites?
No, about... about something Kehlani said?
About... you mean when she was talking about the scope of the organization?
Or? Yeah, Medell mentioned something, but I don't know if we want to talk about it. About, because of the status of Palau, which we have discussed on the podcast before, that she felt that, I mean, I'm not going to keep talking because.
Well, see, well, some of the things that sort of the contradictions or some of the conflicting points that are within the discourse of indigeneity or indigenousness revolve around this idea of, you know, decolonization. And so for me, coming from the Republic of Belau, which is...
A sovereign
quote,
nation.
Quote, unquote, decolonized
sovereign.
Because
sovereign.
Of our...
Sovereign. Sovereign.
Our achieved, quote, unquote, independence. We're often... I mean, that status in and of itself often... limits or undermines our claims to indigeneity because we technically, you know, under that status can no longer be in the sovereignty or decolonization conversation, right? Because technically we've achieved that. And so yesterday, although I was extremely excited that there was even any mention of Belau or the FSM or the Marshall Islands, it still was contextualized, or it was still brought up in the context not of indigenous people. So the way that Kehlani mentioned Belau was precisely this way. So she talked about the indigenous peoples of Hawaii, Guam, the Chamorros, and then American Samoa. Mm-hmm. Separately from the peoples of the former territories of the Republic of Belau, the Marshalls, and the Federated States of Micronesia. So essentially, she already demarcated the categories to somehow constitute a difference in the either conceptualization or statuses of these indigenous spaces, I will still say. So, to me, that's problematic, but, I mean, it's all part of this idea
dialogue.
Of, yeah.
There has to be, there will be a lot of dialogue, I'm sure, because if they are true, unless they just limit it to America, or even the Americas, because if you go out into the rest of the world, you start encountering, because you start encountering indigenous groups that actually have power, indigenous groups that actually control governments, you know, and so on, or territories or nations.
Quasi control, please. Thank
oh, yeah.
you very much.
Well, I'm talking if you go into Asia and Southeast
oh, okay.
Asia and Africa.
Yeah, but below.
But. Oh,
but we do.
Oh please, yeah. Medell is like the queen of Belau. No, I'm okay. I'm. That's, I note. I take it back because there actually is a queen.
Fighting words.
There actually is a queen of Palau. I'm not being some like dork who's like, you're from Palau. Are you like the queen of the island? I know that Gloria Sally is the queen. But it's just that when you reach past the United States, then you start encountering difficulties. So you start coming into countries where indigenousness or the indigenous people aren't those who were there first, but they're simply those who are on the lowest rung of society. So for example, when the guy from... Somerville?
Yeah.
I was going to talk about Armstrong.
Yeah.
That guy, Armstrong, huh? No, his name is Armstrong, the guy from India.
Oh.
From the University of Madras. He was talking about in India, there's the indigenous people constitute almost 300 million people, but about 40 million of them are, I can't pronounce the name, Adivasis or something, but they are literally the first inhabitants. So they are the people that were displaced by those who are currently the dominant, Hindu population in India. But then the other 250 million is the Dalits, or untouchables, or the people without castes. And so in India, indigenous people is these two groups, even though one of them matches the way in the United States we tend to think what is indigenous, whereas the other, it's the two things that we tend to think of indigeneity, that there's a state of abjection, political powerlessness, lack of sovereignty, but then also the temporal aspect of being those, who were there first or who have an originary tie to land. So those are and what Madel's talking about is important too. Like when you go other places, you have indigenous people that have decolonized. Do they still get to count as indigenous even though they are now supposedly the modern subjects who have their nation? Who have their nation state. So, we haven't heard from Angie in a while.
No, but I'm listening. I think this is really, what we've been talking about for the, since you guys came back last night. I mean, I have also been really focused on just trying to tighten up my paper for the presentation today, and so I haven't been as engaged. Plus, I'm fascinated by the discussion. I obviously think that Indigenous studies should be a really broad category, and I think that ideally it wouldn't be placed just in the Americas, or especially not in the U.S. So I stand in solidarity with Madela Maguette,
There was a Maori guy who spoke at the meeting yesterday. Do you remember what his name was?
Oh, the elder?
The elder, guy who... He made a very good point that I'm sure everybody knows already, but...
We need to re-emphasize it.
And re-emphasize it, and then not re-emphasize it in an abstract way, but basically attach groups and people to that emphasis. Mm-hmm. So it's not simply rhetoric, but it's actually a gesture which is committed to those sorts of things. And he basically said that he only came here because he assumed that when they said indigenous, they were talking about the kind of the international movement that, like, Ron Nisen talks about.
Well, that's what I assumed.
Yeah, no, that's what I was hoping for too.
I think most of the islanders were hoping for that too.
I mean, if they're just going to take Native American studies or American Indian studies, what have you, and call it indigenous studies, I'm not having it.
Yeah.
I don't think that's radical. That's...
Yeah. So I think...
So we're here for the renaming? The rechristening?
But I mean, and I think that what he was saying is important in part because it's more comprehensive, right? Because then we really get into the entanglements of what we've traditionally thought about in terms of indigeneity and how complex it is when we bring in other global and... for other spaces, local factors that complicate what it means to be indigenous.
It
right?
helps us with ethnic studies, too, because it looks at the role of the U.S. Empire in creating colonies
right.
and the relationship of the... I don't even know what to... Of the U.S. Indian or,
American Indian.
Yeah, to the... to their the people that may seem on the surface to be immigrants, but who are really here as a result of, you know, the colonizing processes of the U.S. Empire, you know, and making those connections and comparisons is really important to centering indigeneity within ethnic studies.
But I think the other productive part of the ethnic studies framework that we come out of specifically at UCSD is the relational aspect that I'm really interested in you know, using as a framework for my work, because I was thinking, okay, so I'm that colonial person who's here because the U.S. was on Belau and whatnot, but how does my residency then instead of settlement,
because Angie doesn't like
the settler label, but
I don't.
So how does my residency here, especially as an indigenous ethnic studies scholar, affect Native American claims to sovereignty and independent, or sovereignty and decolonization, right? So
what are you talking about sovereignty for? You already have it.
It's interesting, right?
I mean,
but I want to understand how all of those things, like all of us here, and our treatment by the United States, has implications for each other, right, or on each other, and all of those implications work together to maintain, I think, this system that so easily incorporates us as the immigrants and then denies you, American Indians, as still existing sovereign peoples, right? So it's like it functions simultaneously, but I think in that we can find a way to start the revolution or continue the revolution, because we're in the revolution.
Well, I think that, I really agree with Medell. We don't want to go on for too much longer because we Medell and I want to get back to our editing and we need to print out copies.
And by the way, Miguet's been done for like 2 years. He was prepared 2 years ago to give this presentation. But I was wondering, do you think we can post our papers on the blog?
I think that'd be great.
Yeah. So
I would really love to post my paper. I'm becoming more and more courageous about sharing my ideas and my work because I want feedback. Because I think that I might be going a little nuts here.
Dustin, please read Medell's paper.
And I need to know whether or not, you know, I can continue on this trajectory.
I think Kehlani reads our blog and listens to our podcast too, by the way.
Hi, Kehlani. You're so beautiful. Masulam.
And also, I was just saying that because even if we are being critical of some aspects of the conference, we all have recognized how important and useful it's been. And
it's exciting.
And how exciting it's been. So we don't want to take away
from
that fact.
It's an honor to present here.
I mean, it was very interesting yesterday when the guy from India presented. And throughout his presentation, people were kind of like put off. It was really obvious that people were put off, both because of English not being his first language, but then also the way he was talking about the indigenous in India. People using terms that people were not comfortable with. You know, it's. But then when he spoke about kind of the struggles of what the indigenous are going through there, like the issue of dams and constant displacement, and then being the population which suffers the most from environmental racism and developmental racism.
That actually people in the United States highly benefit from. Thank you very much.
Yes. Then suddenly people at the end were like, you know, I never knew that. I mean, but that's exactly what happened to my tribe. Like, we were displaced because of a dam that was being built and stuff. And so important connections are being made, but I think that a lot of people have to understand that there has to be discomfort. You have You have to go through some discomfort in order for this to work. You have to take the very difficult gestures of learning about these other forms of indigeneity, positions, histories, etc. And you have to make intentional gestures to bring them here. You can't just say we're open to everybody. You need to put something behind that to prove that you are, like Madel said, that you're committed to that practice, not just to those words.
The other thing is, I want to emphasize yet still that communities are, what did somebody say? They're the reasons why we can do our work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the community.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to demarcate either myself or the body that's here from everybody else. But I really want to emphasize that there's a perception of that demarcation, right? So that, do you guys see what I'm saying?
Maybe.
So there's a perception that there's this boundary between scholars and the communities that they study or you know. But I mean, although I may not always... I don't know what I'm saying. All I'm saying is that the communities are important, the people. And not just our work as scholars, but the scholarly or intellectual work that also comes from communities that I think are important to our work. I mean, we need to be able to collaborate and share ideas.
And cross borders.
oh dear. Yeah, I had a revelation yesterday in a panel when I was realizing that UCSD ruined me for literary analysis. I'll say most literary analysis. When the line was being compared to the border, the line of the poem, I was like, is this scholarship? I was like, oh no. The social scientists, they got me. Brainwashed me. They held me for ransom, but you don't have to live like a refugee.
That has its own separate implications, that
I
comment
know, that's
right there.
True.
But,
especially from our department. Hi, Ma.
Hi, Ma. Oh,
my Hmong cohort member. Yeah, I was going to say a shout out to all of the people at the UCSD Ethnic Studies Department who are readying for their defenses. And we're
qualifying.
So proud
and qualifying.
And qualifying. That would be Madel and Maguette right here. And my whole cohort sends me this quarter, but I'll be doing it by the end of summer, knocking the wood. And thinking good thoughts for you guys. And so we're going to be podcasting again, hopefully tonight. There's after our panel or this afternoon before the banquet. Give you guys a little sum up of the feedback we got and what we're thinking now, and probably quite a bit of backpedaling a little later on today. So keep listening.
Thank you for listening. And if this podcast had sounded really all over the place, it's because we're all sitting on a couch, snuggled up in blankets, and in Oklahoma City, in Norman. And we're surrounded by Sooner paraphernalia and pride documents and textual markers.
We've decided that instead of saying loser, you say sooner.
Oh no.
Well, we better be out of Oklahoma City.
I know.
Anyone
I think
here.
I think
oh wait, we're not.
Wait,
we're not even in Oklahoma City.
You keep
Oklahoma.
Saying that,
I keep
but
saying
I keep letting
that.
It pass because we're... I think it's sort of it's disruptive. It's sort of unbalancing, and I'm all about that.
I'm decolonizing in my ignorance.
He is. He's decolonizing Norman.
But
take care, y'all.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. We'll sing later.
Yeah.
Because Angie already sang.
Yeah, it's true. We're your dream girls, boy.
She'll be
where's
coming
the stop?
Round the mountain.